is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly?
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 877-270-8714. Same area code, area code 530, my apologies, 876-9026 or 876-3223 or 413-4515. And boy, do I have some exciting guests on this show this evening. I am extremely excited to share each of my guests with all of you this evening. And I'm going to give you a moment to go get something to write with and a pad, because you're not going to want to miss any of this powerful information. If you are indeed ready to change your life, this is it. This is going to be huge for each and every one of you. I know it has been for me. I have watched my life change in a matter of seconds. I have watched things flood into my life that I was only dreaming of in my own little meditations, or just going off into a dream state during my day. And I am excited to introduce to each of you this evening our guest for this evening. And this is Dr. Doug Gilbert. Now, I have indeed been working one-on-one with Dr. Doug Gilbert, along with just recently have taken his class. And what I found that was very profound for me is that I went to an event over the weekend, and I was very in tune with the way people were speaking. And I was sitting there chuckling to myself in the back of my mind, of course, keeping in mind that I had just taken this very powerful class that has really made a profound change in my own environment. And so, as you can see, why I'm so excited to have our guest. But please allow me to give you some history on our guest for this evening. And it starts with, if what we as New Agers have been talking about for the last 30 years actually worked, all of our children would be fed and loved. We would have peace in our Middle East. Our government would be run on ethics of peace, prosperity, and harmony for our entire planet. And we would all be living abundantly. We clearly have some work to do. Some of what stops us until now, number one, is not being specific, not being aligned with what we have been saying, rejecting materialism and capitalism, not being in our outcome, focusing on the bad rather than the good, focusing on the positive without any specific clarity of intentions or feelings, not being fully and completely present while creating, being stuck and addicted to being in process. And I want you to really take this word down, the word process. And like Dr. Doug shares with all of us, being stuck and addicted in being in the process. And give yourselves just a moment to really understand the depths of what these words are truly expressing to you. Working on it is another phrase that we all have a tendency various times in expressing ourselves. Trying to get rid of, and that's another good one, of negative emotions. Now, Dr. Doug Gilbert will share some very powerful methods for fixing every one of these issues, and if time allows, will help callers upgrade on the air. And that's right, you have heard it right here. So get your pens and paper out, and you'll want to have these numbers handy. I will tell you, it will take only a second for Dr. Doug Gilbert to really help to shift you in a matter of seconds, and it will be profound for you. Dr. Doug is in the business of helping people upgrading their lives. Enjoying using the term upgrade, as I was an electronics engineer for 18 years, designing computers, computer upgrades, and writing software. I learned about doing it better, faster, and more efficiently. I learned that just about anything can be upgraded. In fact, anything that wasn't upgraded would become outdated and useless very quickly. What a profound statement to make, and we all, in our days and times here on this planet, we see this happening very quickly, do we not? I mean, I'm sure you can sit there and really think of all the different scenarios that unfold in your life, and in just a matter of seconds, it's not even a truth in our environment any further. I started a computer company with three friends and successfully sold it 3 years later. In 1988, Dr. Scott Walker showed me how I could upgrade my personal life with a method called Neuro-Emotional Technique, also known as NET. I didn't realize it at the time that this was to be my next career. As I learned NET, using it with my friends and family, I found great satisfaction in what I was doing for the first time in my life. I found I loved helping people so much, I soon left my engineering job and earned my doctorate in chiropractic. I built my chiropractic practice mostly around upgrading people's emotional bodies. That's right. You've heard it here, the emotional bodies. And I don't need to tell any of you what our emotional bodies can really play havoc in our lives. I know it has for me. Rather than doing just structural adjustments, I found the more I worked with transforming their emotions, the less adjusting I had to do. I quickly started using my new tools very successfully with many people. Without further delay, please assist me in giving Dr. Doug Gilbert a warm welcome to the show.
Good evening. Hello, thank you. Hi.
I know, and I'm so excited. I got all nervous, and that was just through my excitement. I get that way because I understand the powerful method that will assist not only for myself but every one of the listeners this evening in changing their lives in just matters of seconds.
So what are you going to upgrade, Leilani?
Pardon?
What are you going to upgrade? What are you going to upgrade tonight?
I'm not sure yet. But I'm ready for it, and you know that I'm ready for it.
Yes, I do. I've seen you in full-on action. Yes, you do.
I would like to share this with everyone. Now, this is not necessarily an easy show for me, and that is because I understand the power of master language, especially once I started working with Dr. Doug and taking his class and then going over the weekend and being exposed to various walks of life. You know, I was indeed very tuned in to the way people spoke. And, you know, as I've learned from you, Dr. Doug, you can say one thing, but your physical body is saying another thing. And I was chuckling. You would have loved it. I was just chuckling to myself, and you'd be proud of me because I found myself help assisting others in their language as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What did you help them with?
Best students in the world.
You are a quick study, yes.
Well, yes, and that's, you know, it's important for me, and all my listeners know this. A lot of the listeners have been with me for the past 2 years. And, you know, they've watched me grow as I have watched them grow. They have felt my passion, not only empowering myself, but to empower them and their lives. And I love bringing exciting guests to the show that I know will change their lives.
So, Leilani,
yes,
how'd you like to do a little bit of work tonight?
All right, let's do it.
So, how about let's give the listeners, your wonderful listeners, an opportunity to hear a little bit about what goes on in my class.
Okay.
Would you like that?
Yes,
are you
I would, matter. Yes, I am. Yes.
Are you ready to do some upgrading tonight?
Yes. Oh, before we get started.
Yes.
I do want to share this with you. I used one of your techniques on Sunday, and within the first 2 seconds, it manifested itself right in front of me. And
awesome.
The statement I made is, I said, I am a winner. And 2 seconds later, that's exactly what happened. I was
excellent.
I know.
Was it the Powerball jackpot at least?
Well, for me it was. And the reason
excellent.
Why I say that is because I was using the power of the language, and to watch it manifest and unfold in front of me was very exciting. It wasn't necessarily the outcome of it. It was, I was in tuned with it.
Excellent.
And I choose to see all the listeners of this show to have the same ability, because we all have that ability. So on that note, let's go ahead and get started.
Okay. Leilani, do I have your permission to facilitate you today, yes or no?
Yes.
Good. That's a good clean yes. And as you know, one of the things I listen for is clean yes versus anything else before we get started.
And
so,
can you explain a little bit more about that so our listeners have a better understanding when you say a clear yes versus a no?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Basically, when we're having conversations and asking questions, making contracts with people, friends, family members, making agreements, and making commitments, if we don't say or we don't receive a clear, solid yes from the other person's emotional bodies, if we don't give a clear yes, then it's not a real yes. If I call up somebody and let's say the auto repair place, and I say, can you have that done, or will you have my car done this afternoon, and they say, uh-huh, that's not a yes. They have not committed to anything. They haven't owned what they're saying. And what they're really saying is, not really. And if they say, I think so, or possibly, or maybe, I'm definitely not seeing my car at least for another day or two. Whereas if I ask them, are you going to be done with my car this afternoon? And he says, yes. I know I can expect to see my car working that afternoon. And this goes for everything in our lives as we're interacting with anybody and everybody we're interacting with. If I'm dealing with my fiancé and I ask her something, I get other than a yes, I'm going to stand back and ask myself what's really going on here. And if I give something other than a real yes, I'm going to ask myself, what am I holding back on? Does that make some sense?
Yes, yes.
Good.
And it was important for the listeners to understand that as well, so they, you know, had a foundation to work with.
Excellent. So, Leilani.
Yes.
What is the biggest thing right now blocking you from your full-on thriving? First words. Jump in.
The first word that came to mind was fear of success.
Fear of whose success?
My success.
Fear of my success. So let's play another game.
Okay.
From our class. What is success to you? And what I'd like you to do is we'll do just a free association game, exercise number one from your playbook, and just say success is and then fill in the blank.
Okay,
just say success is and then fill in the blank.
Yes, I'm writing it down in front of me.
I can connect with
the phrase.
Are you getting a little nervous, Leilani?
Well, I was actually nervous before I came onto the radio show. And
well, that's because you knew you were going to have a lot happen for you tonight.
And I like that. I'm, you know, obviously you know that I have been more than willing to step up to bettering myself as an individual, because once I do that, it gives everyone else around me the same permission to upgrade themselves. And it is
yes, it does.
For all of us to claim that as well. And, you know, one of the things that it's really helping me with is when I work with you is it's helping to bring everything, it's grounding for me, one. Number two is I've received a lot more clarity immediately as I interact with individuals at whatever level that is. I'm able, you know, it's like using the word yes or no. And I'm saving myself a lot of time versus going back and forth and getting sucked up into a lot of drama.
Cool.
So,
are you ready to play the game?
Yes.
Just real quick, success is, keep going.
Unconditional love.
Yeah.
Success is improving myself. Success is understanding fully who I am. Success is having close relationships within my personal environment.
Pause for a second, please. Are you fully present, Leilani?
Yes.
You know the answer to that. Okay. Now do it. Success is, and get real, let it come up from your heart.
Success is having loving relationships. Business.
Again.
Friends.
Next. Success is.
Success is being the best person I can be for Leilani.
Leilani, do you hear all these answers coming out of your head?
Yes.
Okay, so let's speak to your heart now. And by the way, any listeners out there, this is a really powerful exercise for you. And it's only when we get in touch with what our hearts say about things like success, and we seek what our heart's desires are about success, that we will be successful in our lives, and then everything else will show up. All these things from our heads, the unconditional love and all that, then those things will just show up automatically. We need to satisfy our heart's desires first. So, Leilani, from your heart,
and if I could interject here for just a moment.
Yes.
Please explain the difference between feeling it from the heart versus the head, the mental.
Excellent. Okay, so anybody out there playing the game, if I'm talking like this and listen to the patter and the cadence of my voice and how quick it is, this is me talking out of my head. And answers from our head are kind of like this. They kind of, they're real fast, they're kind of snappy, we're thinking about it. If I ask a question to you, Leilani, or somebody else, if I'm doing coaching one-on-one with somebody, and this is the kind of response I get, I know this is out of your head. Whereas if I ask a question, and I personally, for me to get the right answer, to get a heart-based answer, I need to be in my heart first. And so if I ask you a question and I say, what is success for you, Leilani? Notice the different cadence. Notice the different tone. And it's not how deep my voice gets. It's feeling in my voice. And so the difference for you in responding is going to be when I ask, if you're thinking about it, it's the wrong answer. It's not from your heart. It's from your head. And so your first words, the very first words that come up when I ask a question, those are from your heart. When you don't think about it, when you don't filter it, when you just really, really get present with how you feel. Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. So now, and we can talk later if we have some time about how to go even deeper and connect with our eternal self. So for right now, let's find out what does success really mean for you and your emotional body right now in this moment, Leilani.
Success is having a loving relationship in my life.
Slow it down. Slow it down. And by the way, you're doing great. And
thank you.
You can do better. You can do better. So now, did you hear, you said success is, and you started going real fast in this kind of cadence from your head. So I invite you inside of you to slow it down. Success is. And then what's the very first words?
A loving relationship in my life.
Again. And actually say, success is, and then just let your words flow.
Success is having a love relationship in my life.
Slow it down even more. Listen to my cadence. Success is.
Success is.
So, pause. Pause. You're trying to figure this one out, Leilani. Okay? And you and I have played the game a few times, and cool. Good job.
I'm feeling it because I mean
this. Do you feel your answer kind of bubbling up, trying to get attention? Do you feel it? It's trying. So now, again, slow it down. Follow exactly my cadence. Success is
a love relationship in my life.
Okay. Use the words. Actually say, do this. Say, my success is. Just like that.
Okay. My success is a love relationship in my life.
Okay. Whose life are you living right now, Leilani?
My life.
Okay. Whose love are you looking for?
Pardon me?
Whose love are you looking for?
My love.
Ooh. Success is.
My love. In my life.
Ah. Have you been holding that back from yourself? Yes or no?
No.
Why are you laughing, Leilani?
No, I haven't.
Do you truly love yourself completely right now? Yes or no?
Yes.
Have you truly chosen your life right now?
No.
Ah, is that what you're missing?
Yes.
Ah, when did you stop choosing your life? How old?
It's not a matter of my past, it's a matter of my future. And that's because I realize I have a wonderful future in front of me, and I am really examining at this time what all my future looks like, because I'm creating at this moment. And so for the first time in my life, I'm actually examining what does that look like? How does Leilani choose to be?
I understand. And remember, this is an inside job. What we feel and believe on our inside is what we attract and create on the outside. Remember?
Yes.
Yes?
And I will say this weekend was definitely one of the most powerful weekends I've had in a very long time. And the things that unfolded and came my way has got my head spinning of excitement.
Excellent.
Do you feel that?
Oh, yes.
And I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you.
Yes. And now that you're done avoiding, now, remember how our history that we remember, not our true history, our history that we remember and we believe sets up our belief systems.
Yes.
And our belief systems is what we create as our expectations outside of us.
Yes.
And at some point in your past, you stopped choosing your life. Because I asked you, are you choosing your life? You said no. That was a real no.
It started at the age of 9 years old.
Okay. Do you remember what happened?
Yes.
What caused you to stop choosing your life? You do?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. And you don't need to share the details. Do you remember what emotion you felt when you stopped choosing?
Yes.
What was the emotion you felt?
Disappointment.
In who? Yourself or somebody else?
In someone else.
Can you say who that is?
Yes, I can.
Who is that, please?
My mother.
Okay. So she let you down. So now, what would disappointment turn into if it was a positive emotion for you?
Support.
Ah, so you weren't supported by your mother.
That's correct.
So tell me something. Would a good definition of success for you right now in this moment be you fully support yourself, yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
Do you see the difference?
Yes. I could really feel that.
Now, remember, this is just in this moment. This is what success is for you. And it can still be your successful radio show and all the other things that you've talked about. Okay? And right now, success for your emotional body is just fully supporting yourself. And so, if you will go back and remember our little game of kind of rewriting your history?
Yeah.
Imagine you're 9 years old and decree, say with feeling, say it as law, say, I am fully supported by my mother. Go ahead.
I am fully supported by my mother. I am fully supported by my mother. Ooh, I can feel that.
I'm sure your listeners are starting to. You have some more available. Keep going. Remember, every time you say it with feeling, what you're doing is you're convincing your unconscious mind that it's true. And this is the difference between decrees and affirmations. Affirmations, people, and I'm included, would say them for 6 months or a year and nothing would happen because I personally, and most of the people I know, didn't say them with feeling. And this is the difference. So say this with feeling. I am fully supported by my mother. Go for it.
I am fully supported by my mother.
Ooh, I like
am
that.
Fully supported by my mother.
I like it. So
now I can feel that. May I share just a moment with the listeners at this time?
Yes.
And one of the things that I would really like to point out to all the listeners this evening, the power of this particular type of modality, it really helps you, obviously, as you see this unfolding, it helps you to get in touch with those undercurrents that are running within your emotional bodies. So what it shows us here this evening is how these undercurrents can affect our everyday lives in all the different areas that we are interacting with, from our dreams, our interacting on a social level, to participating with a spiritual group or whatever it is that you're creating. If we can only just get in touch with that undercurrent of emotions that have created our own self-imposed blocks, you'll find, and I have found this for myself, and I'm excited about this working with Dr. Gilbert, and that's why I have him on this show. You guys all know how I am. When I find something that has become a strong catalyst for profound shifts and changes in my own life, of course, I would want to share it with all of you. Was it intimidating for me at the beginning? You bet it was. It made me squirm all over in my seat. Let me tell you. And realistically, I wanted to tell this man to just be quiet and leave me alone. When I stepped up and said to me, to myself, it is time for you to take the full responsibility and accountability for my own empowerment, it has done nothing but change my world. And as you can see, so how many of you this evening have the courage and the strength? I know every one of you do, because I know every one of you. I know each one of you personally. And so give yourself a gift of love. Give Dr. Doug the opportunity to work with you. Say, I love myself. I love me. How'd you like that, Dr. Doug?
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it a lot.
And
by the way, you're talking about your squirming reminds me, one of my favorite clients, when he gets to that point of really, really squirming, and you know who you are out there, he says, you know, Doug, nobody likes you. It's just like, I take that to be a really high compliment, because it's just, and that's not him, that's not who he really is speaking, that's his story speaking to me, and it's cool. I like them to squirm for me.
Well, so, I have a news flash for you, Doug. You won't be able to use that anymore. You can't share that anymore with people. Because it won't be truth anymore, because I happen to like you.
Okay, good. Well, you'll have, put you in touch with him, and you can tell him that. So anyway, now back to you. Now, we took care of your history, your history's need to be supported by your mother. Now, you're a little bit older than 9 years old now, just by a couple of years, if I remember correctly. You're what, 21?
I'm 50 years old yesterday, and I am proud of it.
And congratulations. I was trying to be really nice here.
Thank you.
Now you're an adult. So now success for you can mean that you fully support yourself. Yes? So how about you decree it, make it fact for you. I fully support, and we're going to make this grammatically sound, and it's going to work for your body.
You don't have to give it to me. I already know what it is.
Go for it.
I fully support me.
Keep going until you mean it.
I fully support me. I fully and believe in me.
Excellent. So now, Leilani.
Ooh, I can feel those shifts going on.
Yes. So, Leilani, is there anything right now blocking you from you fully thriving? Yes or no?
No.
Cool.
You feel how solid that no was?
That was a very good no.
Yeah.
And by the way, for people listening, it can be no now and tomorrow. It could be a yes, or it could be another no. It's just from moment to moment. Where are we? What's up for us? What is our life reflecting back to us? Because this is our report card. What we see in our life outside is our report card. How are we doing inside? And so if we're thriving, we have lots of love returning to us, great, good job. If we have negative stuff and tragedy and stuff happening, it's not just good or bad, it's just a report card. It's like, oh, okay, I have something to upgrade. And so don't be harsh on yourself. Just, oh, okay, I can do something with this. I have something to learn.
Yes, and I would like to take a moment and share this with the listeners as well, and just bear with me because I'm actually going to read further information about Dr. Doug Gilbert. It says here in 2005, Dr. Gilbert was introduced to more powerful tools in using our language as a way to find and transform our inner glitches, combined with his previous tools, his clients got healthy and into their personal outcomes really fast. And I want you to think about those words for a moment. Personal outcomes. They were taking command over their own personal outcomes in their own lives. Dr. Gilbert's new set of tools works so well and so fast, he is now sharing his tools in classes with his beautiful fiance, Amanda Bowling.
Yes, she is.
Together, and they teach a class called Rewrite Your Rules. And that's an important statement to make as well. And let me repeat that once more. Rewrite your rules. Now, what you have actually witnessed is Doug assisting me in rewriting my own personal rules. So what does that really mean for all of us? The bottom line to it is that you no longer have to live with those undercurrents any further plaguing us and self-sabotaging ourselves and the things that we desire to do or the goals that we have in mind. And once you really start working in those areas, you are literally reprogramming, and I mean this, reprogramming your mental process along with your emotional bodies. And if you just give yourself a moment to really think about what those words really mean in the depth of it, you'll understand why I've been so excited of having Doug on this show this evening. I'm so thrilled and excited about the changes that has gone on in my own life that I've asked Dr. Doug to please come on more frequently to this show. And I really, really hope that you will do as I have done. Say, yes, I love myself. I am ready to upgrade not only myself, but my life. Wow, that was good. Thank you. I do want to touch real quick, Doug, if we may, on the words like try, can't, maybe, should, can't, those types of words, because one of the things that I observed during my interaction over the weekend is how many people, including myself, as Poppy could write a book yep. on it, that have used those words in my everyday communication.
Yes. May I step back just a little bit first? This is a lot of material that I teach in the class that you took last week. And, you know, we go over in class in detail many, many, many words and phrases which we as a culture and as a people have used to limit ourselves. And the person I learned this part of the material from called it the Babel virus. It's basically garbage language that either doesn't mean anything or it literally will hinder us from ending in our outcome. And words like try, for all you listeners out there, try to stand up. If you find that you stood up, you didn't try, you did. And if you still are sitting, then you didn't do. There is no try, as famous Yoda said. And literally, we will teach in class how to be very conscious of every word we speak, especially words with feeling, because every word we speak is an act of creation. And so what we teach is how to be conscious of what we're creating from moment to moment. So now, if I use the words, I can't do and fill in the blank, what I've done is I've told my unconscious mind, if you believe in angels or guides, God, whatever, I've told them I can't do it. Well, if my wish is their command, and I say I can't, I get I can't in my life. If somebody asks me something and I say, I don't know or I don't remember, I get more I don't know. I get more unconsciousness in my life. And so just being aware of our words moment to moment will literally shift our lives in powerful ways.
Oh, yes, and I have firsthand been a recipient of it. Okay.
Yes, well, pay attention to right in the beginning when we were doing the little exercise, success is, you said many times, a loving relationship. You said it at least five times. We could go rewind the tape and find out. But you kept saying, a loving relationship, and that's when I said, whose love?
Is this the moment when I say, be quiet, Doug? I'm just teasing
Well, you certainly may. I have other people give me certain gestures when I'm in person, and that's okay, too. I love them anyway. It's just, you know, it's really fun for me because I know I've struck gold right there. And so, you know, just moment to moment, pay attention to your words.
Yes, and you know it's really interesting because I'm going to cough up to this one.
Okay.
No, and I've worked with you, you know what, the past 3 weeks, and you know every time you and I go through this, I end up doing this to myself, okay? And as you continue working with me to really get to the root of things, what my soul really truly means to say, it's such an immediate shift that actually takes place. And I'm more and more of becoming stronger of understanding between the mind and the heart. Even though I was doing this on air with you, dead set, saying it through the mind, I do know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, you're on the air, and so I give you a little bit of leeway on that. And this material, and just shifting one word, can be so powerful. I have literally watched the fibers in people's irises change, which means literally their body is changing, their health is changing. Literally, their DNA can change by just shifting one thought form in their life from saying, you know, I've had a patient come into my chiropractic office after a car accident, and I asked her what's going on, and she told me about the shoulder and the low back was hurting her and the neck was hurting her, and I just, all I did was have her say, whose shoulder? And she said, oh, well, my shoulder. And just owning her own body was a tremendous shift for her. By the time I was done having that conversation with her, I didn't even have to adjust her after a car accident. One visit, she healed herself. I didn't do anything but just remind her whose body that was. And I believe we've done that once or twice with you, Leilani.
Oh, yes, you have. And I will step up to that for all the listeners. Most of you have been with me for quite some time, and you know that I've never hidden anything from you. Why would I? I'm not any different from any of you. I am continuously learning. I'm continuously working, bettering myself as an individual. And what I found, what was the most important element for okay, but I have my whole relationship with me has just tremendously shifted, and I've tapped into a world of really learning to appreciate myself and on so many levels. You know, if I could just embrace every one of you and bring you into my own environment and just sat with all of you to share all the wonderful things that have taken place within this 3 weeks, it's just mind-blowing. I don't mean that literally, universe. But another element that I desire to share with all of you as well is I want you to remember this, because this is another very important key, is that the universe does not sit around and say, well, this woman or that person meant to say this. You all have seen the movie Secret. You all know that the universe says, your wish is my command. Now, that said, think about that. Let's all make that connection this evening of how, if that's the case, then whatever I am choosing to say, it goes out into the universe, and the universe accepts the order that you've put out. It won't sit there and have a meeting saying, well, she really didn't mean to say, I can't. So the universe is going to give you exactly what you're asking for, and we all know this. And it's exciting that we have a man of, as Dr. Doug, is able to come forth and really work with each one of us. I want to personally thank you, Doug.
You're very welcome. Can we talk about my class this weekend a little bit?
Yes, please do.
Okay, a couple things. I've got a class this weekend in Mesa, Arizona. It's Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's at Expect a Miracle. It's at the corner of Main and Power. And if you go up to my website at www.drdoug.com, drdouggilbert.com. You can find information on how to contact us. You can contact my beautiful fiance Amanda, who also helps teach this class. And I'm going to give your listeners a special deal. If they mention that they heard us on the radio tonight, in fact, they can listen tomorrow, I'm going to give them a special deal of $150 for both days.
Okay.
And the day one is a really, really powerful. We're going to go over language in very good detail. We're going to find everybody coming is going to fix at least one major glitch in their life, one area where they've been blocking. And then day two, we're going to go over a whole bunch of very powerful visualization exercises of how to actually, now that you've learned languaging tools, now we take those and plug them into some tools that a lot of us have used before, and they get a lot more effective when we combine these together. And so please, please, please come see us, and let's have a good time together. And that's about it on our class.
Excellent. And let me remind all the listeners that please go and visit the show page. I have a wealth of information on Dr. Doug Gilbert's techniques, along with Body Electronics. I also have his website and his contact number listed as well for all of you. And as soon as I have a chance, I will post up the show special for all of you. And that, once again, is for $150. But remember that you'll need to let Doug know that you heard the show this evening with BBS Radio. And I'll make sure I have that posted up there as well with a little reminder. But I will say this to you. Of course, I will share my weekend of excitement with all of you in the very near future. And I do know that it has had a lot to do with the work I have been directly interacting with Doug. Isn't that amazing, Doug? I'm just so excited about sharing all of it with you, but we are coming close to the end of the show. Can you believe it?
That went fast.
I knew. Yes.
Okay. We could go on for a long time. And
I know.
Maybe
we're going to do that. We're actually going to do that. I get the power of what you do. Within three weeks, you have changed my life. Leilani has changed my life.
Yep. And it would be really wonderful next time I'm on if one or more of your listeners could call in. We could work with somebody over the phone.
Yes, yes. I know they will. I know these guys. They will. They'll call in and interact with you. I know that they're probably, you know, going, oh, my gosh, look what he did to Leilani. It was painless. I promise all of you it was very painless, and I'm excited about continue working with Doug. He has really helped me tremendously in getting down to those core issues that's been running in the, you know, in the background. And if I ever had to say that I had a regret, the regret would be is not meeting you a lot sooner in my life.
I wasn't ready for you yet.
You weren't?
Nope.
That is true.
No, I mean, I could have helped you out and done some really good work, and it would have been all good. You would have not been nearly as impressed. I mean, who I am today is a culmination of a whole lot of things all put together, and just in the last year, it really just the final couple of pieces got put into place that really, now magic can happen. And, so anyway, by the way, I also do personal coaching with people. I have a number of clients who basically I talk to on a weekly basis, and I help them just plow through their core issues so fast, and they literally just transform their lives on a dime. It's just really a thrill for me to help people through these things.
Yes, it's been refreshing for me, the passion and the heart connection that you've had with me, and I've observed you interacting with others as well, and it's very apparent to me. And, you know, I'm a pretty tough cookie when I'm examining an individual as a guest on this show, and, I mean, it didn't take me very long to realize what I had in front of me. So I personally want to take a moment to really thank you for working with me, Doug. And I'm looking forward to sharing some more thoughts with you on some exciting things that have unfolded for me. But in the meantime, everyone, I have Dr. Doug Gilbert's information on the show page. His contact number is area code 928-380-2315. His website is Dr. Doug Gilbert, and that is spelled GILBER.com. And so if you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to email me, and I'll get it right over to Doug. Or if you have any further concerns or questions, please don't hesitate to let me know, and I'll walk you through it. But I have to say goodbye.
Well, thank you for having me on your show this evening. It was truly a pleasure.
And for me as well, I'm very honored and look forward to future shows with you as well.
Excellent.
So good night to you, Mr. Doug Gilbert. I have enjoyed you fully.
Good night.
Good night and be well. Wow. Well, everybody, I've got another great guest coming on the second hour, last 2 hours of this show, and I'm like, wow, it's really here, and it's so incredible. One of the things, since Dr. Doug has indeed been working with me, is watching synchronicity really working in my life. And most of you are indeed aware that I was at the UFO conference this weekend at Landers, California. And oh my goodness, I'm going to share some of this information with all of you. I am really looking forward to the changes that will literally be unfolding in my own life. And so our next guest for this evening, it was perfect in when I scheduled for this young man to be on this show. And I'm actually talking about Steve Bassett. Now, I really want you guys to really stand close and listen to this broadcast, because you're about to learn a lot of incredible information on our terrestrial sisters and brothers. You know that I've had Dr. Boylan on the show. That was a very powerful show, and we're about to have another one this evening. Now, Steve travels all over the world. He has developed the Paradigm Research Group, and let me give you his website address. It's one of those sites that you'll want to spend some quality time exploring. They've got a wealth of information. He's done an excellent job on spelling out or unfolding different events and information that he's firsthand has interacted with. I spent quite a bit of time on there again as well today. And it's going to take you hours, but I promise each and every one of you it will be worth every moment of your time on there. If you have any other further questions, you can email me, and I'm sure Steve will answer a lot of those questions this evening for all of us. But let me give you some of the history of this man that we're about to share our time with. Now, Steve is a leading advocate in the world for ending the 59-year government-imposed truth embargo regarding an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race and the planet Earth. He is indeed a political activist, lobbyist, commentator, and columnist. He is the founder of the Paradigm Research Group, the executive director of the Extraterrestrial Phenomena Political Action Committee, also known as X-P as in Paul, P as in Paul, A-C, and the author of the Paradigm Clock website. His work has been referenced in, among others, the Washington Post, Washington Times, New York Times, Legal Times, Christian Science Monitor, National Journal, London's Sunday Express, and O'Dwyer's Washington Report. Since 1996, Stephen Bassett has assisted many other organizations and initiatives which have been making the case for, number one, an end to the government embargo on the truth surrounding an extraterrestrial presence, an open congregational hearing to take the testimony of former military and agency employees witness to extraterrestrial-related events and evidence. He has appeared on hundreds of radio and television talk shows and numerous documentaries and brought the message to millions of people of the likelihood and implications of disclosure. The formal acknowledgement by the United States government of an extraterrestrial presence about the Earth. Not maybe, not someday, but now. Without further delay, please let's all give, because it is indeed a privilege to have Stephen Bassett on this show this evening. Stephen, are you with me?
Hi, Leilani. It's nice to be with you.
And here I was stumbling all over you. It's because I'm nervous of having you on my show this evening. It is
such
a privilege.
It's my privilege. I always enjoy talking to new audiences and about what I consider the most important issue in the world right now.
I will definitely agree with that. And, you know, I have to share this with you, if I may, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to the UFO conference over the weekend, and this was my first. I will say this. I am glad I have participated. It has, before I left to come home to Arizona, the experience itself has changed me personally, and I do know it will change my life. It is absolutely phenomenal with the work and the magnitude of the work that each of you are out there doing, and I really got that at this convention.
You went to Aztec, I assume?
Pardon me?
Was it the Aztec conference that you're referring to?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you heard David Hatcher, Childress, Dennis Balthaser, and Travis Walton.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I picked Travis Walton, important guy. Yeah, it's a regular conference, one of many that have been going on now for decades to keep this issue out there and bring people together. And it's important that those conferences continue to grow, and I think we'll see more of them in the future.
You bet you are. As a matter of fact, I desire to be a strong voice in behalf of all of you, so whatever I can do and this show to support all of you, I definitely am stepping up to it. I want to say this to all the listeners this evening. If you've never been, you need to go. And do it just as soon as you possibly can, because I promise you this, it will indeed change even the way you look at things, and it has done that for myself. I saw men that glowed, sat there and glowed, interacted on an intimate level with these individuals and listened to their stories. There was one speaker that walked up to me and says, "I know who you are, Leilani." And I said to him, "How do you know who I am? Because I've never met this man before." And he said, "Because I just went onto the spaceship, which I frequently visit, and they told me you were coming. They showed me what you looked like and told me a whole lot of information about you." That actually happened, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Well, Leilani, I am not a contactee.
I know.
I've never had any.
I'm aware of that.
Of that type of experience, or I have talked to many who have. I've never seen a UFO. I had a sighting that was, I think, even had a few things I've seen in the sky, but nothing you could even call a significant UFO sighting. I got into this field because I knew as early as my college days that the UFO phenomena could only be explained by an extraterrestrial hypothesis, and that was a long time ago. Over the years, I learned a little bit more, but I didn't engage the field until 96, and my interest was the political resolution. It was very troubling to me that so many people had done so much research and had brought forward so much information, including government documents, and the government continued to deny the obvious. This bothered me. It particularly bothered me in the context of a lot of other political and policy decisions on the part of the government going back to the 70s. It just seemed like it was part of a very unpleasant trend that I didn't like. And in the interest of my country and hopefully improving it, I thought I would take this issue on. And as I got into it, I began to realize how really important it was.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, gee, one day we're going to find out there's ETs here, or be formally told that. I mean, that's going to be a pretty big deal, no question. But the structures that were built up to maintain this embargo, the propaganda techniques, the huge secrecy complexes that have been created, and the abuses of power that have occurred behind the secrecy curtains is threatening the nation. And I've concluded that probably the best chance we have of rectifying that, forming,
yes,
changing, is to break down this major barrier on this major issue, and that it will probably lead quickly to a lot of other transformations and a lot of citizen and media interest. So this is, in a way, a doorway, the disclosure event, whereupon the government finally acknowledges that, yes, there is an ET presence, yes, we've known about it, yes, we didn't tell you for national security reasons, but now we are, and stay calm, things will be fine, we'll have more to say later, whatever, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
That event really is going to be open up a door into this huge secret world that was really begun in earnest in 1947 and grew during the Cold War to become literally an empire, what I call the secret empire. So you can see that this is, I'm not on a spiritual quest. I know many in your audience are of that ilk. They're interested in the spiritual aspects of life.
I'm not sure if I agree with that, Steve, and forgive me for saying that, because one of the things that really shifted for me, for myself, is that I realized that everything on our planet is indeed spiritual. The work you're doing is beyond the word magnitude, or, you know, even using the word depth. I mean, this is something that has to really be done. And I really got that. I really made that connection just being at a UFO conference. And what I learned, because, you know, I also had Richard Boylan on the show as well, and we talked about the four secret governments. And it's time for the general public, as you know, for myself even, because I'm in that category as well, is to really get and understand that the government has indeed been doing these things, and it has affected every one of us. And yes, we are faced with some very critical times here on the planet. And it does go beyond just, you know, the excitement of seeing a spaceship or, you know, beam me up, Scotty, and all those other types of things. And what I'm hoping to do on this show as well is to bring some strong reality of the seriousness of the secrecy that's been going on. And that's why I'm very thrilled to have you, and I commend you for the strength and the courage, because I know the degree that it takes for you to do what you're doing.
I appreciate that. I'm going to switch off my headset, which is not functioning well. Just a moment.
Okay.
Let me take that off. If we get disconnected, I'll call like that. Okay.
You know, it's really interesting because, you know, I had when I had Dr. Boylan on the show as well, and we talked about the four secret governments, you know, we touched on, you know, a lot of the secret meetings that the governments had with our terrestrial sisters and brothers, and how they had indeed been given some very powerful information to assist in making life better for all of us here on the planet. And I'm aware that, you know, they had no intent whatsoever is to share that with humanity, and it was all about power and control over the masses for their own personal gain, and that's got to stop.
Yeah, this is. These are some more advanced takes on the issue. I'm not there. I'm operating at a little different level. I'm more in the nuts and bolts. There are a whole range of theories out there and accounts, some of which are coming from contactee information, and that's fine. And in time, that will all sort itself out, whether we met with ETs or didn't meet with ETs, whether they gave us tech, didn't give us tech. I'm in the ground floor of this building, in the sense that my job is not to ascertain what's on all the floors above me, but
mm-hmm.
rather to get the door open on the ground floor so that the people can come in and begin the effort to find out. Until the government formally ends this embargo, this truth embargo, we really can't find out, and we operate within a very complex mix of information, misinformation, some concoctions. It's a mess. It's interesting, Lord knows, but it's a mess. And it doesn't serve the national interest to have all of this unresolved theory. The world is much more profound and complex than we have generally been told. And that I do know. Exactly where that profundity is and where these complexities will take us is a little more difficult to ascertain, certainly from where I'm at. However, I do know this, that we have got to make this leap. And it's a major event. It's nothing unusual in some regards. I'm sure that thousands of civilizations in the galaxy and elsewhere, other galaxies, have gone through the same process. Just like a child growing up reaches puberty and crosses into adulthood. Some, as you know, in many religions, there's their traditional rites of passage for this. The Jewish faith, the bar mitzvah, the bat mitzvah. Well, that's what we're having. We're having a cosmic bar mitzvah. We are going from being an adolescent civilization, relatively new, to moving into adulthood. And the principal, I think, rite of passage is the self-acknowledgement that, guess what, we're not the only living sentient beings in the universe, which intellectually it should be no shock to anybody, but the actual real realization of that, the actual being told that. It's like death. You know, death is scary to people, but generally they don't think about that much, or if they do, they think in the abstract, until one day a doctor looks at them and says, you know, your tests have come in and you're going to die. Then it really hits home, and then you find out just how powerful the concept of death is, and that's the same thing with this. And when we're finally told by our own governments that there is an ET presence, the impact will be quite dramatic, and it will trigger a cascade of activities and events that will essentially, in due course, reshape civilization on this planet. And it's in that moment, that reshaping moment, post-disclosure, that we will have the best opportunity we've had in a very long time to try to get things right. And by that I mean we're trying to get things right. I'm not saying that it's all black and white. I mean, there's a lot of groups and a lot of people and organizations that are trying to sort of restructure the way we deal with religion, with politics, with war, peace, science, and everything else to try to get things right, and they're generally not making it. They're trying, but they're not doing it. This major event, this transition, will open up an opportunity to restructure, reassess, reform any number of institutions, rethink our position with respect to the planet, with respect to ourselves as a species, and decide how we're going to conduct our affairs. And if we take advantage of it and do it right, we have the chance in due course to have a reasonably populated planet not under significant environmental stress, with a minimum amount of violent political solutions and science being used in a way that's constructive and not destructive. All of that is there for us when this door opens. That's how big this event is, in my opinion. And if we don't do it, if we blow this opportunity, if we hold disclosure and then continue to conduct our affairs in the same way, we may be finished as a relatively structured civilization.
One of the individuals I spent some real quality time with, sitting down and really talking with him about, was Wendell Stevens and Ozzy Gonzalez. And that's where my eyes really opened up, and I started to really make that connection of the severity of what's going on the planet and the importance of the work that you're actually doing. I mean, you know, one of the things that one of the speakers had shared with us on Saturday was that, you know, our terrestrial sisters and brothers had given some information to our government where it would dissolve all dis-ease on the physical planet. And it would also reverse our aging process. And so what they did is they took this terrestrial, had him go and sit in a room while they all had their meeting. Then once they were done, they called him back in, only to find out and for this terrestrial to hear them say, "We have absolutely no intent whatsoever to share this knowledge with the population on this planet. It's not going to happen."
Again, I can't speak to that kind of accounts. Again, that involves direct contact. I know I have a very high confidence that we have technology that has been derived from crashed vehicles that we have been working with for decades, very likely building our own version of some of these crafts and incorporating other aspects of the nuts and bolts technology, all of which could have enormous impact. But with respect to the higher level ideas of having direct and formal engagement with these entities and the swapping of technologies, the availability of advanced technology, I can't speak to that. Though I will say that just the propulsion and energy systems in these craft, if fully developed for terrestrial purposes, could be transformative in this world if used for good. And I'm very confident that that technology we do have. The account that you've just given, though, is at minimum symbolic of a status quo that involves government embroiled in secrecy, very much postured in loco parentis, as substitute parent to the citizens, which the government then views as children, where to be seen and not heard. The other stuff is just too important to be known. It has to be kept secret and inevitably, therefore, confined to military purposes, weaponry, and getting an edge on our, imagined and real enemies. Old paradigm thinking,
yes.
Which has clearly led us to where we are today, just a few bombs away from a Holocaust, a few germs away from a biological catastrophe. Not taking care of business, not taking care of children, not addressing the coming population pressure phenomena that are going to create wars over for thirst, water, and food. Just enormous, just bad behavior. As a species, we're behaving incredibly bad. The fact that we can point at a few people here and there who are wonderful and advanced in thinking and trying to do good is fine. Unfortunately, it's not enough. As a species, as a collection of nations, we're behaving abysmally, and we're going to pay the price very soon. People of all walks of life, both high and low, including people within governments, U.S. government, U.K. governments, defense people, are already writing up the reports chronicling what's coming down the pike. This is not fringe predictions. This is mainstream analysis, which when you read it, should frighten you, scare you.
So they are, what you're saying then is they are indeed very aware of where we're headed if we don't make these changes.
Mm-hmm. And they know they have the technology that could help alter that, but they won't bring it out because to do so would end the embargo, and they don't want to end the embargo. The truth embargo poses problems for them, most of which are public relations in nature. They're afraid it'll make them look bad. I'm afraid it'll cause them some short-term pain. And so they continue to play this out, knowing what the consequences could be, rationalizing the propaganda, the lies, and the deception. And in the absence of this truth, people are doing the best they can to sort of fill in the gaps, to try to explain all they're seeing and hearing about with a whole range of theories and speculations. Well, that's perfectly okay, but ultimately we've got to get down to the hard core facts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are these entities here? Where are they from? What are their intentions? What tech do we have? How far has it been developed? What use could that technology be put to if it were publicly available and could be developed by all nations and institutions? How could it impact water, hunger, ozone, environmental toxicities, global warming, and a host of other things. All of these are not in discussion. In fact, if you try to have such a discussion, which all comes under, by the way, the rubric of extrapolitics, which is what I believe is the proper term to describe this now formal disclosure truth process. It's an exopolitical process, and that's where I post my flag. I'm an exopolitical activist. I'm not a UFO researcher. I'm not a ufologist. I'm an exopolitical activist trying to end the truth embargo and alter government policy on what is easily the most important issue in the world. If someone could tell me an issue more important than the fact that we are being engaged by non-human entities from multiple galactic civilizations, I want to hear it. Tell me, what's more important?
I agree with that. Let's step back for just a moment, if we can, Steve, and share with our listeners, if you would, this evening, what does it really mean when you say truth embargo? I mean, what does that look like for all
very,
of us?
It's a very tightly defined term by intention. It is the embargo on the basic facts regarding an extraterrestrial presence. It's not a huge secret. It's not a secrecy embargo per se. There's so much known about these ETs. I mean, the government cannot control their actions. The government can't prevent these ETs from coming and going as they will. They can't prevent them from being filmed and photographed in Mexico, in Brazil, in Europe. They can't prevent contact between ETs and regular citizens. And so the phenomenon continues unabated, but the government can't control that. But what it can do is not acknowledge that it's there. In other words, it's conducting a classic case of the big lie, meaning a lie so huge that most people can't see around it and essentially take it on faith, which is never a good thing. Whenever you do that and let a government get away with a big lie, bad, bad things are going to happen. So it is an embargo, and the event that ends the embargo is also very carefully defined. It's not the dumping out of every document they ever had or every piece of information they have or trotting every alien they may have out for a news conference. The disclosure event is very simple. It is the announcement by the governments of the world that there is, in fact, an ET presence. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
That is the formal acknowledgement event. That's the disclosure event. It's with a capital D. It's formal. A lot of people already know there's ETs here, so it won't be a surprise to them. But the implications of the formal acknowledgement are striking and profound. Once the formal acknowledgement takes place, then the rest of the world is let in to the room. That's that door I was referring to. You can now go through that door, and all of the world's institutions, all of the world's scientists, the philanthropists, the foundations, the universities will no longer have this self-imposed restriction that they placed on themselves to engage the issue. There'll be no ridicule curtain anymore. It falls away, and then now they can get into it. And the human race essentially now will fully engage this issue. Right now it's being engaged by a limited number of individuals hiding behind or within the security systems, within the secret empire, under strict orders not to talk. It's being conducted underground. It's off the radar, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So really it's a very narrow interface between the human race and this issue. The disclosure events expands that interface to the entire globe. And there's a lot of smart people out there, and they will bring their intelligence and their experience to it, and we will start to digest and understand and explore the implications of it. That's what the disclosure event triggers. How much information they then give us in the days after the disclosure event, how quickly it comes forward, how forthright they are, how accurate they are, or whether they attempt to provide false information, that is going to be up to us and our representatives to put sufficient pressure and scrutiny on the government to ensure that the post-disclosure reality is as honest and as straightforward as possible. If we do not do that, if the American people, who are in an extraordinary state of disengagement with their government, operating at huge levels of not only mistrust, but voting levels in the 25% to 28% range, which is just abysmal, if the American people continue to say, we don't care, we're just going to sit in front of our TV and you go do what you're going to do, then they will reap the
rewards. Keep my head in the sand, so to speak.
Head in the sand. Covered in the sand. If the American people continue to remain in this detached, bewildered, child-to-parent relationship to their government, then they will reap some very bad consequences. They may rue the day that they sit this one out. So the exopolitical movement, and the reason I appear on all these hundreds of shows and that I speak to the audiences, that I seek every outlet I can, is to increase the awareness of the public. So whether or not we build a movement with millions of people, you know, marching with their feet and challenge the government and the embargo, or whether the embargo ends on its own, which it will. It will. It's inevitable. It cannot last indefinitely. In fact, it could collapse tomorrow, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
This awareness will then translate into this engagement of this subject. And the implications of disclosure in the post-disclosure world. That opportunity, that window of opportunity to affect a major change amongst the way the United States government is structured, the way the secret empire operates, how large it's going to be, ending the abuses of power, improving relations between nations, establishing a much more global perspective on our affairs. All of that opportunity will be there in the post-disclosure world, but it will be up to people to seize that opportunity, and so we're just trying to give them as much of a heads up as we can so that they can act accordingly.
Well, I mean, as I sit here and listen to your words, you know, I'm pondering in the back of my mind, you know, if they expose the truth to the masses, and you're talking about reconstruction of our religions, our banking system, everything as we know it today would completely change.
It would be
our utilities to the water we drink. I mean, just everything. And one of the abilities that I have, Steve, is that I'm shown future events. And that's, you know, I've had this ability since I was a little girl. And that was why I was so incredibly passionate for you to come onto this show, because I understand what we're facing, what we're headed for, and as part of the responsibility and accountability of who I am and to all the listeners is to help inform them. If we all need to start taking responsibility and saying, you know, no, this is not truth, and to prepare people, because from what they've shown me, what I've seen, is if we don't, when our terrestrial sisters and brothers come here, there are going to be a lot of chaos on this planet. A lot of people are going to resist having these life forces coming here on the planet. I don't want to get into all of this because my main objective is not to create fear, but is to help the people to understand the importance of your work here.
Well, you've raised an important point. Again, speaking from a very grassroots, nuts and bolts perspective, my theory regarding the overall overarching process here has not really changed much. It's just a theory. I could be wrong, but nothing I have seen has significantly challenged it. And that is this, that this disclosure process underway is inevitable, and every civilization that develops on a planet goes through it. And it's leading towards the disclosure event, which is, as it's defined, a self-acknowledgement. It's a self-disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not formal contact. People get them confused. They get disclosure confused with contact, formal contact. There's obviously contact going on. There's plenty of contactees who are interfacing with these ETs, and those stories
right.
are all over the place, and there are tens of thousands of them, and they're being studied, and a lot has been learned from them. And that's contact, but that's not formal contact. Formal contact is when the entities are obviously clearly there, clearly being seen, and interacting in an open way, not only with humans, but with authority and with nations. We've seen examples of this, obviously, in countless sci-fi movies. There's no mystery here. But that's formal contact. Now, that hasn't happened. The aliens could have done that anytime they wanted to. They could have put 50 saucers over the White House, and that would have been the end of that in terms of RETs here or not. But they've not done that. What they have done, though, is allow themselves to be seen and photographed and had a lot of contact with human beings and been around substantially, but always short of this formal contact. And I believe the theory for that is actually not complicated at all. This birthing process that I'm talking about, there's kind of a method to it that's optimal. And the optimal method is that first there has to be self-disclosure. We're not a few tribes hanging out in caves. We're 6 billion people, 200-some governments, 200-some social contracts between the citizens of those governments and their authority figures. And those social contracts are what pretty much keeps order. Mm-hmm. When the social contract breaks and you get disorder, it can be quite unpleasant. Think Somalia, Darfur, Sudan, many other times, Bosnia at the worst. You know, humans tend to act badly when there is a breakdown in the fundamental relationship between the authority, governance, and the citizens. We've seen this countless times. So it's not a trivial thing. There's 6 billion of us, and many of us are pretty heavily armed. So first there has to be this self-disclosure event. What that does is reinforce the social contract, because the governments are doing their job. They're a little late, perhaps, but they're coming to the people and saying, look, this is, we know about this. You need to know about this. We're telling you about this. We will tell you more soon. Can't tell you everything right now. But, you know, be calm. Don't panic. And this will all be fine. And people will go, okay, thank you very much. The government is doing its job. It's honoring that contract. And then a certain number of years will go by, 1, 2, 4, 5, and in those intermediate years, I can assure you there will be a pretty intense focus on the ET reality by just about everybody in this world, one way or another, in the media, not the least. And we will study it, we will read about it, we will make documentaries about it. It will be one big deal, and we will digest it all, and probably maybe in 4 or 5 years it may even become boring. We have a very short attention span, but we will have digested it and come to accept it. And at that point, I believe, that's when the formal contact event takes place. And in that scenario, the social contracts hold. So I think there is a process underway. It is not random. It is being driven primarily from above, and that the principal reason why we haven't had disclosure yet is X amount of intransigence and resistance on the part of terrestrial authority, which I imagine the ETs are probably not surprised about either. And so the question becomes, how long do we maintain this sort of stalemate, right? And that's a big question. It would be less of an issue if we weren't facing so many serious problems. This isn't 1840. This is the year 2007, and we're facing the potential for biological warfare, nuclear warfare, environmental catastrophe due to the melting of the caps, still a problem with the ozone layer, which if it were to diminish sufficiently, could cause enormous problems. We're still not protected against a near-Earth object of significant size. We have almost no money there. We only track about 5% of the sky. One could hit tomorrow, end all of civilization. We've got food shortages, water shortages. We just don't have air shortages even.
I'm sorry?
I
mean, we're killing ourselves with just the air. We're losing our animals,
wildlife.
We've
pushed it to the limit. We've behaved badly. We've made bad choices. And so we don't have the luxury of a 10, 20, 30, 40-year post-disclosure indoctrination period, or 20 more years of quote, embargo. We don't have that luxury.
I will say that is very true. From what they've shown me, you're absolutely correct on that.
So if this event is meaningful, if this disclosure event is critical to us rethinking, re-examining, reforming, and getting our act together so that we can get through the 21st century intact and have a viable planet, hopefully participating in a quote, galactic federation. I use small g, small f, because I don't have contact with ETs, you know. I have other people that, you know, they tell me they attend galactic federation meetings regularly. I don't do that. But
as far as you know, Steve, for all you know, while you're sleeping, you're going up there and you just can't recall.
Yeah.
I mean,
all my friends have the fun. I get a lot of colleagues that have all the fun. I don't get anything. I don't get contact. I don't get messages. I don't get channeled. I don't get downloads. I don't get trips. I don't get squat. I just get to slog away in Washington, D.C. in the political trenches here and try to get a policy change on the part of some very terrestrial, earthbound individuals, mostly men. But I'm still quite happy with that, believe me. I also believe, and this is more in line maybe with your audience's current interest, I think it will clearly dramatically expand the willingness of of people all the way up the ladder, including your scientists and your philosophers and all your mainstream pundits with their self-righteous sense of truth, to open up and start considering a much larger spectrum of ideas and thinking, not only in the spiritual realm, but in the scientific realm. Many of the issues that I'm sure you've talked about on your show will have more cachet and more people willing to think about them. Simple things like near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, you name it. All the stuff that has emerged since the 70s and developed somewhat of a foothold in our culture, but it's still assigned to the alternative shelves and all the bookstores. That's going to improve, and I think it will result in probably some interesting discoveries and some startling new truths about the world, and that'll be fun too. There is this kind of a bottleneck we're in right now, in which for some reason we've decided to strangle new ideas before they're born and confine ourselves to certain set mainstream mindsets for whatever reason, thinking somehow that will preserve the status quo. Well, it's not. It won't. And I believe the disclosure event will have an impact there, too. And that's going to make the post-disclosure world extraordinarily interesting. I want it to happen as soon as possible so I have as many years as possible to enjoy what will be the most profound, I think, intellectual renaissance in history.
Well, one of the things I do know, Steve, is we've talked about Earth changes, the possibility. Well, they're not possibilities, they're reality. And one of the things I've been very passionate about is bringing back true reality to the word spirituality, to men as such as yourself, that is also very reality, but it's also very spiritual in my eyes because it affects each and every one of us. And this was very clear for me in the month of December of 2006. It was real clear in the transmissions that I was receiving is to bring back a solid foundation, because we've taken things and just, pardon me, and I don't mean to disrespect anyone when I say this, is to get all this woo-woo, flighty stuff out of what we're all doing here. And spirituality and science is meeting and blending and integrating with each other. And what was real profound for me is I was speaking to a woman in 2005, the later part of 2006, and she point blank looked at me straight in the eyes and she says, "I don't want to know. I would prefer to pretend like these things aren't happening."
It's not an unreasonable approach, and a lot of people have to take that approach because they have lives to lead. The world is very large, very intense, and overwhelming. And I don't really mind it too much. I think if everybody took that approach, we'd have a serious problem. But I respect the fact that a lot of people are not able to deal with this, and that's okay.
So let's talk further about the potential crisis that we are all facing, because every one of us are indeed, myself included. And I'm taking an active part in hopefully doing my part in helping to break down the truth and embargo. And whatever I can do to help make that happen, I'm willing to step up to the responsibility of it, because I do believe it's all of our responsibility.
Yes. Well, which crisis did you have in mind? Pick one. There's so many.
How about the Earth changes?
Well, my view on that is this. The Earth is always changing. Never stop.
That's correct.
Okay. It's been changing. It's gone through all kinds of extraordinary transformations. We've had major species die off. There's several cycles of those. One is a 62-million-year cycle, which some recent research may be pointing to radiation increases as we move above the galactic plane. There's also been enormous changes brought on by meteor impacts.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen at any time. We've been following that pretty well. We do go through climate changes. So the Earth always changes. What's different now is that we had a stretch of time lasting at least 10 to 11,000 years where human beings were able to advance, or you could call it advance, but they were able to become, quote, numerous and build civilizations without any major reversal. So that's partly surprising in such a short amount of time, only 10, 11,000 years. It's also possible that some of that advancement was improved on by the interaction with ETs. ETs might have actually interjected some of their own DNA or whatever. I mean, I'm not adverse to that possibility. It has a certain logic to it. But in any event, we created in about 11,000 years an extraordinary civilization with many, many extraordinary components, also many unpleasant components.
Yeah.
And we were generally spared anything extraordinary, no major impacts, no major climate changes, certainly no radiation hits, galactic superwaves or any of that kind of stuff. But that doesn't mean they can't come. And so one of the dilemmas that we face as an advanced civilization now is how can we protect ourselves against that? Or do we just want to be dinosaurs, just go about our way until something happens and we all die? So it's kind of like a responsibility. Now, interestingly enough, particularly in the case of meteorites, comets, it's a very clean analogy, and I like to use it a lot. Up until the point at which we had technology at the level we have now, there was absolutely no protection that the Earth had against a large Earth impact. Nothing we could do. If it came in, it hit. If it was big enough, it would blanket the Earth. It would kill off almost all of life above ground. End of story. Start all over again. It's like erasing the blackboard.
Mm-hmm.
But as of the 20th century, we were really on the brink of having the adequate technology to be able to locate and divert such an object. So we now are in this interesting role where we could be the protector of the planet from one of its most dangerous and destructive events, large Earth body impact. And not surprisingly, given the fact that we never miss an opportunity to behave badly, we have spent untold trillions of dollars on ideological and cold wars and violent hot wars, and spent nickels and dimes on surveying the near space for these objects and building some technology to protect ourselves. It's really sad. Slowly but surely, we're starting to get our act together, but we could move a little faster. If we do, particularly if we bring out the ET propulsion technology, which I believe we have been working on and re-engineered and had that available, we would have the means to go into, and then if we expand the budget for the sky surveys. In other words, we really put some money into surveying all near space so that we know where these objects are, then there's a good chance that we could identify collision course object, go out, divert it easily into a safe path, and we wouldn't have to worry about what the dinosaurs put up with 62 million or 67 million years ago. Simple little concept, shepherd to the planet, protecting. You say, well, why? Why would it? Well, it is, there is something kind of, the Sisyphean approach to life, where everything has to be destroyed and start all over again, seems a little wasteful. Sometimes these impacts can be so devastating that they can do enormous damage to the planet. In fact, if an impact was large enough, it could end life forever. So we have a responsibility, I think it's a simple, basic moral responsibility, to execute our shepherd role now, and in that regard, at least, protect the planet. Well, we're just barely getting into that, but it's certainly something on the horizon. So my reaction to Earth changes is this. Our responsibility now is to learn and understand how the Earth can change learn and understand how to deal with those changes to minimize the damage to the planet and to our own well-being and act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't view them as biblical punishment. I don't view them as extra natural. They are perfectly normal. And if we have a situation, say, with global warming where the Earth is heating because of natural solar activity, but our own activity adds to that and creates a short-term dramatic impact, we need to respond to that. The thing I see going on in the world right now is how incredibly ineffective governments and people have become in responding to the obvious dangers. It's as if you walked out into a street and saw a bus coming at you at 50 miles an hour, and you decided, I'll just sit down here and, you know, pull out a ham sandwich and I'll just eat because I don't feel like moving out of the way of this bus. This is the way we're acting. We're making bad decisions one after another at every level, state level, federal level, United Nations level, national level. And it's just remarkable. It's almost as if everybody took gum pills.
I apologize for interjecting. Well, you know, what comes to mind, which is a, you know, huge example for all of us, is the New Orleans incident.
Yeah, it's a nice condensed metaphor. Sure. You know, we could have repaired the levee and put it up to, made it, you know, so it would sustain the hurricane. Probably cost about $1.8 billion. We didn't. The overall costs are going to be around $250 billion. But what's $250 billion, you know, to a government that just runs up trillions of dollars of debt without thinking of it? So one of the advantages of the modern media era, with all the news and all the shows and all the internet, is that though it's irritating and somewhat stressful, our stupidities are being shoved under our nose on a daily basis. We're seeing them in action.
Oh, I know it.
We're watching them play out, and that's helpful, right? It's a wake-up call. It's a slap in the face. It's like, you know, we can show you all the dumb things you're doing now, and we're going to do it. Here they are, okay?
You got
to
know, this show has heard me. I apologize. This show has literally heard me say that live on air.
Of course.
That was an excellent statement you just made, Steve, because you're right.
It is one of the gifts of modern media. And we want to be very careful we don't lose that gift. Any effort to take that away from us and control the internet, to reduce it, which would serve the powers to be, since they don't really want their stupidity so blatantly obvious, we have to be resisted with all our might. But we do have the means now to see where we're messing up, and that's going to help us take some actions. But in order to take action, you have to have the information. And where you get into real trouble, the New Orleans event was notable because it was covered. They had helicopters flying over the dome. You could literally see the people standing on the houses. So whatever was going to come out of that, at least we knew what happened there. And we could deal with it, we could talk about it, we could complain and whatever. When you get into the area of secrecy or propaganda, information control, that's when the real danger lies. Because you don't know what's going on, or you've been misled about what's going on. It's like they put a news blackout on New Orleans, and 10 weeks later, nobody even knew a hurricane hit there. And the Secret Empire has done that with respect to the extraterrestrial issue. They've sequestered it, they've impounded it, and so we don't have the facts. Well, when you don't have the facts, when you don't have the information, you can't act. It's exactly analogous to the difference between having an illness, such as a bad infection with a serious fever that's clearly diagnosable and obvious, and you go to the hospital because you're very sick, and you get the necessary treatment, and you're okay, as opposed to the silent tumor, the body growing in you that hasn't created any symptoms yet, but it's growing and it's spreading. And you don't even know it's there. When you find out finally it's there, it's too late. That's exactly analogous to the situation of secrecy in state secrecy. If the secrecy is used properly, if it's not abused, if it's not overdone, if it's limited and contained and oversighted, then you're okay. But if it doesn't, if it gets out of hand, if there's abuse, if the oversight breaks down, then what's going on behind the secret curtain is unknown to the public. The public cannot respond. It can't take action until it's too late, until the actions of the secret government have metastasized to the point where the state is fatally condemned. And
so
that's
what I'm
where
really
we are
hearing
right now.
Is that we, the public, the general public, we are the ones who have given our government the permission to hide the truth from us.
We did, and we it was over the Cold War. It was a confluence of circumstances, a perfect storm. It actually wasn't a coincidence, but it goes right back to the basic history, and that is that whether it was coincidental or not, the extraterrestrial presence exploded. Its manifestation exploded on the scene. That doesn't mean they haven't been coming and going for 50,000 years. I don't know, but there's some good evidence that they have been. But in terms of the modern world, exploded on the scene in 1947, exactly at the same time that we really started ramping up the Cold War, which put $13 trillion or more dollars into the pockets of defense contractors and military contractors and whatever. But probably needed to be fought. I mean, there was an ideological chasm there. The Soviets were hardly good guys. They were acting awful. And we did what we could, and we engaged this Cold War. And the threat of nuclear annihilation was an extraordinarily powerful, visceral incentive for the public to give the government anything it wanted, meaning, okay, whatever it takes, save us from the evil Soviets. Well,
we are facing those things again. You know, what's really interesting is that, you know, I found that the, you know, both sides, the United States and Russia, thought each other were doing things to each other.
With respect
and,
to the
and
UFOs?
And that's what created this vortex of energy of a lot of the things that had unfolded during that time frame as well. You know, I was one of those that grew up with my mother telling me, you should be seen and not heard. I also, today, I see how keeping things behind closed doors, or we're not talking of, you know, that's a subject matter that, you know, sex, for instance, was a subject that you just
right.
didn't talk about in those days,
mm-hmm.
and of course it was going on, not any different than what's happening with us today. The difference is I've realized that how secrets destroy.
You got it. This is one of the great lessons, I think, of civilization. Secrecy
yeah.
is fundamentally destructive. It offers short-term gains, long-term detriment.
Consequences.
We made sex a kind of a taboo subject and secreted it and ended up creating, I think, an extraordinary situation in America of dysfunctional family, sexual dysfunctionality. I mean, we're riven with it. We made homosexuality was closeted up, and that created a great deal of dysfunction. And everything whenever we create these taboo subjects and we shove information into the closet and shut the door, is always very bad consequences. And the ET issue is just one more example of that. But of course, it's not the only thing that's hidden in the secret empire. The secret empire, which is the military, the intelligence component of all of these military, industrial, and governmental complexes, where they all have a secrecy component, the intelligence
well,
wing, right?
Well, hold that thought, Steve, because I'm going to let you take a 3-minute break, and we'll touch on that, and then what do we need to do to bring public awareness for each of us that are listening this evening? How can I help bring further public awareness to the humanity on this planet? So, on that note, I'm going to let you take a 3-minute break, and when you get ready, just slide right back into the show. I'll be aware when you come on.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Sure.
Okay. Wow, I'm interviewing, and what a powerful, incredible show this evening with Steve Bassett. I was so thrilled to have this man on this show this evening, and I want to really get the message out there. It's time for each and every one of us to really step up to the responsibility of not only informing and empowering ourselves with this information, but also to help our sisters, our brothers, our parents, co-workers, all the people that we know are sharing it with our neighbors. You know, you've always heard me say it's not what we say, it's how we choose to say it. You know, you can find creative ways to share this powerful information with individuals. And it's time for each and every one of us to take a good look, a deep look at the situation that we're all facing today. And, you know, I'm not any different than the rest of you. And it's time for all of us to say no to this truth embargo. It's time for it to be exposed. Is cholesterol for real? You bet they are. I've firsthand experienced my first contact with a spaceship on the island of Oahu. I was approximately 20 years old. And it was really profound for me because they spoke to me telepathically. Was I frightened? Yes, I was. I actually started running, trying to get away from this very large spaceship. And, of course, it, you know, hovered over me with such ease. But it was amazing because the peace that came over me and the soft voice of telepathic message to me was so full of love. And it takes each and every one of us. God says when two or more gather in His name, there is always power. And if we all can just step up and take the responsibility in supporting Steve in this endeavor, I just want you all to think for just one moment. I mean, can you imagine what that might look like for Steve when he goes out there to say no more of this truth embargo, breaking down the walls? So not only for you and I will have freedom to interact with cholesterol and making a better world for each and every one of us, think about all the other people on this planet as well. Because we're just as responsible for our neighbors, our co-workers, our families. I know that my family has heard me speak about them throughout the years, especially when I had my first encounter with them. I didn't go on a spaceship or anything like that. Would I like to? You bet I would. But I get the urgency of the importance of us saying no to untruth to all of us, because I will tell you, it is indeed hurting every one of us. Ask yourself these questions tonight. Would you like free energy? Yes, you would. Would you like to drink crystal clear, pure water that we've had on this planet many eons ago? Every time we drink the water that we have now, we're poisoning ourselves. Think about the food that we digest into our systems. They're full of poison. A lot of the technology that is being shared and withheld, you know, shared with our governments, but withheld from us, and a lot of this technology is being used against each one of us. It is affecting our lives. It affects our children of today. I don't know about you guys, but I want to see my grandchildren grow up into a beautiful world that was meant for all of us. So I want you to really digest this information this evening and ask yourselves, what can I do to be active in supporting Steve? Doesn't mean you have to work with Steve by any means. Sometimes it's just a matter of opening others' eyes up to the truth. So on that note, let's welcome Steve back to the show. Steve, are you with me?
Yes, indeed, my love.
Thank you.
Can you ask me what people could do?
Yes.
And let me, I think the best way for me to do that is to tell you what I've done. And then
okay.
Those of your audience can maybe pick certain things out of that and say, well, I can do that too, right? But here's how I've engaged the issue for 10 years. First and foremost, speak to as many people as possible. I've done maybe 500 or 600 radio interviews and documentary interviews and so forth. And I will continue to speak at every venue possible. Just to update you, I will be up at the Bordertown Conference in Bordertown, New Jersey. That's coming up next weekend, April 28, 29. By the way, all this stuff is accessed on my website at paradigmresearchgroup.org. paradigmresearchgroup.org. You can find links to everything I'm about to mention to you. And I'll be at that conference on the 28th. I'll be speaking Saturday. Then I'm going up to Montreal for the annual conference held by the International Institute for Human Integral Sciences, or Integral Human Sciences, rather. I'll be speaking on the 8th. That conference runs, though, from the 4th to the 14th, a big event. And then I will go out on the 11th to speak at the Exopolitics Institute's Earth Transformation Conference. This will be in Oahu. Not in Oahu, rather. It'll be on the Kona, on the Big Island. Beautiful place, wonderful conference. I hope people can make it out there and take a vacation. And that conference is put on by Michael Sala and his wife, Angelica. We'll be speaking on some of the issues a little more in tune to what your audience, I think, is interested in. And then, of course, I've got a number of radio and interviews coming up and so forth. So that's one thing I do. The other, I registered as a lobbyist in 96. And as a registered lobbyist under the Federal Election Commission, I'm lobbying members of Congress, government agencies, the executive branch, and so forth on this issue, bringing information to them, trying to get meetings, and that's been going on for 10 years. I created a political action committee in 99. That was XPAC. And it's a political action committee devoted to what? To disclosure, to ending the truth embargo. And that's, of course, an FEC organization of 527, and it's raised some money. It hopes to raise a lot more. That money will go towards ending the embargo. But most importantly, registering as a lobbyist and creating a PAC was sending a message to the Washington political press and also the political officials here that we mean business, that this is a real issue. It's not a game. It's not funny. And it should have a PAC. It should have lobbyists. And so that was the reason for doing that. I've also held town hall meetings, and I've held two major conferences, the X Conference of 2004 and 2005,
mm-hmm.
focusing on the exopolitics of this and getting more into the government aspect, and they were held in Washington during the political campaigns of that time. I hope to soon announce two more X Conferences, which will be in 2007 and 2008, once again in the midst of the presidential campaign, with an intention of bringing the issue to Washington again and also to try to get some of these candidates to step forward and speak about this and stop hiding in the closet. Along the way, I've helped as many organizations as I can that are out there, and there are plenty. I mean, I'm not alone. This is not some one-man show here.
Yeah.
I've worked and helped the American Presidents Project by Grant Cameron, a Canadian researcher that is researching the interaction between the presidents of the United States going back to Truman and this issue. I've assisted and helped and supported the documents compilation work of John Greenwald in his huge site, The Black Vault. Certainly I've supported the Disclosure Project, which is Stephen Greer's efforts to compile witness testimony. And bring that testimony to the political media and the American people. I support Alfred Weber's exopolitical work out of Canada, and of course Michael Sala's exopolitical work. They both have websites, exopolitics.com, exopolitics.org, and I'll support any movement in any country. And there are some incipient movements in Italy, in the UK, Mexico. I support the Federation of American Scientists, the Secrecy Project, which has been monitoring secrecy and secrecy abuse for many, many years now, 20-some years. I support the Majestic Documents work of Ryan Wood and his father, Robert Wood, probably the leading researchers on those documents, which may very well be the best window into the larger picture on this issue we've ever gotten. So it's certainly a controversial area, but they put an enormous amount of work into it. There's an Open SETI initiative. I support that. I support the Star Dreams initiative by Robert Nickel, a documentarian who is trying to bring the crop circle issues forward. There's a UN disclosure petition out. There's a World UFO Disclosure Initiative underway out of Turkey, shepherded by Aktan Oktagon. These are the kinds of programs that I will support in any way that I can, and I've got links up to them on my websites. I know all these people personally. I try to promote the books and the documentaries and the researchers that I think are in the forefront of this, books like The UFOs and the National Security State by Richard Dolan, Missing Times by Terry Hansen, the two exopolitics books by Weber and Sala, and, of course, The Day After Roswell by Corso, that interesting memoir that still is, I think, a landmark book in many ways, written by Corso with the help of William Burns. And the publications, the documentaries, Out of the Blue is about to reissue a expanded version. That's a major documentary. The new documentary, Fast Walkers, I've got links up to that. That's got a lot of exopolitical content. Soon I will be distributing a copy of that documentary to all the members of Congress, personally delivering it to their offices. I will accompany that documentary with a DVD of the presentation of former Defense Minister, Canadian Defense Minister Paul Hellyer, from his Toronto September 25, 2005 presentation. This is a sample of the work. And then, of course, the website. I have five websites that are portal at paradigmresearchgroup.org, with the main one being the PRG website, which is right near the
top. I know.
And that is the heart of what I do. I have chronicled there a huge 2,500 bibliography. There's a link to several hundred videos, video clips, where I've condensed the link so that you don't have to sort through some of the silliness. I've got over 1,300 mainstream news articles that are chronicled there. No alternative press, no tabloids, mainstream articles going all the way back to 1947 to show that the media has covered this, just not at the highest end. The embargo has compromised the major media like the New York Times and the networks, but the media below that level have tried to cover this issue and make very nice articles about every aspect of it, and there's 1,300 of them chronicled there. I also have a whole section of quotes from pretty high-powered people over the years. It's one of the better ones on the Internet. There is anyone who browses through the PRG site and jumps over to some of the links of these other works, anybody with a reasonably intelligent, logical mind and some education has to come to only one conclusion. This material, without question, without even getting into the vast body of research that filled up the files of hundreds of researchers and filled up the articles and the journals and over nearly 10,000 published references, without even getting into that, just looking at this material, there was only one conclusion, that there's an extraterrestrial presence. The government has denied us that truth. The government has denied us a lot of truths. In fact, it's become almost addicted to propaganda. The government is telling us every day that something is not there when it is there. It's telling us things aren't there, or are there when they aren't there. And as a result, people are losing faith in government. Government's losing its ability to conduct business, to get things done. We're not taking care of issues. They're continuing to decay and erode. And there's a sense of angst worldwide that we are not going to be able to complete this century. That we're going to this great civilization is going to implode sometime in the 21st century with catastrophic consequences, enormous loss of life, and just a huge loss of the good things that we have done as a civilization and what we brought in our unique experience, to have that washed away by the failure to deal with our own shortcomings and our obvious problems. This simply is not acceptable to me, and I will do everything I can to prevent it from happening right up until my last day, and if I can get support from others, I will do more. And that's probably true of every other colleagues that I have. They're in the same boat that I am. The more support they have, the more funding they have, the more opportunity they have to speak, the more they will impact the situation, and eventually the government will yield, we will get the truth, and the people will then engage this issue to the extent they wish, and the century will change course, hopefully for the better, hopefully for a better world, safer world, a world without hunger, starvation, without, oh my God, obsession with weapons, killing, with an environment that's sustainable. All of that is doable. I've never lost sight of that. I believe that there's no problem that we've discussed tonight or haven't discussed tonight that's not solvable. I've never seen an unsolvable problem. So it just doesn't make sense to simply lie down and give up. Not the least of the reason is that the engagement of these issues is incredibly
gratifying. Well, and I agree with that, Steve.
And wonderful.
You know, and it's really interesting because, you know, I've always been shown that in the blink of an eye we can make a huge shift and change on this planet. And I've never lost that as well, and of course I've seen it. And I'm glad you brought that up as well, you know, about many losses of life. And, you know, even though I don't know the individuals that might live down the street from me, I do care about their welfare, and I do believe it's time for each of us to really care about everyone on this planet. And I do want to let all the listeners know this evening, I've got a wonderful picture of Steve on the show page. I've got his websites all listed. I've got the team of individuals that Steve works with. You could spend hours just on my show page, and I've got all the links up to all the different sites that Steve is associated with, along with one of his interviews that he's done in the past. I have that up as well for you, so you can, you know, tune in and listen to the interview he's recently done. I have some press releases as well, some current press releases that Steve has put out, so they're up there as well. So I've got you covered, Steve. And anytime you have a press release,
if I had 10,000 Leilani Smiths, let me tell you, we'd end this embargo in a couple of weeks.
Well, you know, I really care about humanity. I always have. When I started doing research on your website, I won't say, I can't sit here and say, well, I know every little thing that you do. Because I don't. And, you know, as I started doing research on these websites, I actually got overwhelmed. And there's a couple of, when I say that, I meant, one, of course, I saw the magnitude of the work that you all are doing unfolding in front of me. I also was overwhelmed by the degree of and the depth of the work that you were doing. Not just yourself, but all your comrades that are, you know, standing beside you. And, you know, I've been ready for a long time. You know, if you'd have asked me to do this show a year ago, I'd have said I don't think so. But
well, we're glad to have you on board.
I get it.
We're happy
Pardon
to have
me?
You on board.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've definitely got us. You've got me on your team, that's for sure. And I really, truly hope that I helped get that message out to our listeners this evening and they understood the crisis that all of us and the importance of breaking down those secrecies with our government. And I'll post some other information as well, Steve, so I can be a strong supporter for the work, and I'll continuously go on your site periodically to update the information. And I did send Don today to post your banner up as well, so I will keep that up on my show page so people can just click right onto that and go right directly to your website.
Great. And if I'm able to announce the next 2X conferences, I'd love to come back and talk to your audience about those and let them know what we have planned, and hopefully we can get 600-700 people here to Washington to these events and send a message to the Capitol that we're not going away.
I would like that, Steve, for you to come on to the show. And don't wait for me to extend an invitation to you. This show is very open to you and to all the people that work and support you. You know, one of the shows I'd like to do is once I can get the TV show up and running, I would really like to have a lot of you come on together collectively to do a show. Even if it's not on the TV show, is to have quite a few of you on the show together.
Well, if you can bring, I had like 70-some press passes at my conferences in 2004, 2005. You can bring a crew. You'll have a whole bunch of people right there, and you can set up in one of the media rooms that I'll have, and you could do a show right there, tape it. But whatever you need, we'll do our best to get the message. The Internet's expanding power to produce video and audio productions, podcasting, all of this is going to be a very important aspect of this evolving process. It's still young, but it's only going to get larger, and it's very needed because the cable news has sort of degraded into a, I don't know, it's like a schoolyard, it's a bunch of schoolyard bickering most of the time, and their resources are being wasted on endless crime shows and so forth. They're not covering what they could. It's a tragedy.
I agree with
you. It's a huge resource, and the nightly news is still 30 minutes of fluff. So the Internet will increasingly become the only place that you can find out what's really going on in this world and in this country, and you're part of that, and I know you're going to have a great time. You're going to build an audience, and we'll all celebrate the day after the government finally relents and tells us the truth about this.
Yes, and, you know, that's what I did over the weekend is I went and shot some film on throughout the event. You know, I did shoot segments of it to put it all together and so forth, and so I will be sharing that with all my listeners as well. And I would like to do something for you as well, because I commend you for your courage, because I know that it takes a lot of courage to do what you're doing, but at the same time, it makes so much sense. I mean, why would it take courage to stand up for all of us? And I personally want to thank you for that.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure to do it. I've loved every minute of the last 10 years. You could do more. The principal issue is funding. If the people that I refer to and all these other projects I refer to as well as my own had anywhere near a fraction of the funding that, say, the environmental movement has had or any number of other activist movements, all of which are quite worthy, if we had a fraction of that kind of money, we would have ended this embargo some time ago. But the government, more so than any other political issue that I think we've ever faced, it really committed itself to containing this and not allowing it to thrive, not allowing it to be supported. They were very good. They were very successful at that. And, of course, the price that we pay it was quite an accomplishment on the government's part, but the price we're going to pay for that could be great by being so successful in suppressing it, keeping the money from coming into it. They've allowed themselves to continue almost 60 years now. And so, in a way, they're shooting themselves in the foot, because if this thing had ended years ago, the government would probably be in a much better place now. So, in a way, we need to come together and save the government from itself. And I've had that message sent to me in various ways. It's like, we're trapped in this embargo. Somebody please come and help us. Come. We can't open the door. We got the thing so locked from the inside. We're tied up. We'd like to get out, but we can't. Somebody come beat the door down, please.
I could see it, that message, just watching the news a lot of times, you know, because whenever I watch the news, I'm looking with my spiritual eyes, and you're right. I see them literally begging for a way out. You just have to really listen and pay attention to their body language and the things that they're saying.
They lock themselves in their own dark closet. And,
yeah.
And the people need to come to their rescue. That's fine. That's okay.
Yeah.
If we do, if we come to the rescue, but if we don't, then we will pay the consequences. This could be a very unpleasant century. Very.
Yeah. And we're already starting to see that unfold in front of us on a daily basis, and it's not going to get better if we don't all stop. You know, if we don't stand up and start supporting individuals as yourself. Now, one of the things that I had noticed when I was exploring your websites, of course, I was just amazed on the wealth of information. So one of the questions I was asking myself is, where do I begin? There were so many different subject matters that I could have pulled forward to talk about that I thought, well, I'll just pick out some things and we'll go from there. But, you know, I noticed that you had given Al Gore some information on the work that you're doing. So, and one of the things that I've noticed that Al Gore is doing is he has an area on his website where people can actually post their remarks or comments to take with him when he goes to the White House. Have you thought of doing something similar to that?
We need some people to post on that website that, first they should read the open letter to Al Gore at my site, ParadigmResearchGroup.org. And then they should post, and the essence is this. I believe Al Gore knows there's an ET presence. And I think he probably knows we've got technology. And for him to refuse to speak to that issue, for whatever reason, right, fear of, you know, having a joke told about him on Leno or whatever, and to leave that off the table while challenging us about the terrible crises we face is not intellectually honest. If you're going to speak truth to power, you got to speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth, not just those truths which are easy to get out now or self-serving now. And I think he knows about the ET presence, and he's going to decide what to do about that. If he wants to really get our attention, he wants to really galvanize people toward what is a very difficult problem. This idea that we're just going to suddenly cut all the greenhouse gases down, and it's going to require a level of cooperation we've never seen in our lifetime. I'm not very optimistic, but you bring that ET technology into play, and it's a whole different ballgame. But like Hillary Clinton, like Bill Clinton, like so many others, are unable to bring themselves to challenge this embargo. And, the way I see it is this. They chose public life. They chose to become leaders. When you lead, you don't walk away from things like this. You walk to them. And so they get no slack from me. There's no excuse that they could give me. No basis they could give me. You know, I want to be the first woman president. I want to be the first black president. I don't care. Before that, they have to be the first, but not the first, they have to be a truthful campaigner. They have to take on all the issues, right? And if they can do that, and they get to be the first black or first woman president, all the better to them. But if they're not really to address this issue, then they're not fit to lead. It's been 60 years. Half the American public have already figured out that the ET presence is real. Any candidate who cannot speak to this issue is not fit to lead.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I've not only written one letter to Al Gore, I actually invited him for an interview on BBS Radio. And I guess I'm a little person, but I thought, you know, it's us little people that have a very big bite, so to speak. And I mean that respectfully when I say that. Because we draw in a lot of the general public that are searching for truth and lies of integrity. And, of course, I wrote him another letter. I'm not giving up on this matter. I would truly like to interview him. But the last letter I wrote to him, I reminded him that he was indeed a public representative of the voice of we the people. And so he has written me generic letters, but I would really like to have a one-on-one with him. I'm not interested in stirring up anything with him. You know, I would really like to ask him questions on his point of view of what's going on this planet. And sometimes just by doing that, we all can kind of sit back and ponder on some of the information that does come forward and gets us to think about things that we have chosen to kind of look the other direction, so to speak, if that makes any sense.
My advice to you listeners is this, that whenever you send something to the politician, don't even think about a response. That's not important. You rarely get one. If you do, it's generic. But say what you got to say. Keep it short.
Yes, I did.
And if he were to get 500 or 600 email form, even since he's inviting it. If they don't invite it, then they tend to throw it away. But if he gets 500 email form submissions off the website saying that the ET tech issue simply cannot be ignored and he needs to deal with it, they'll note that. They'll note it. They may not respond, but they'll note it. And that doesn't take a lot of words. I mean, that's a couple sentences. Mr. Gore, we want that technology. We want to be able to use it to deal with global warming. Get it out. Start talking about this. And they'll note it. And it adds up. You know? And
yes, it does.
I recommend every time you get a chance, you know, don't knock yourself out to write some huge tome, a quick paragraph making the point. That's what they read. They read that first paragraph, and if that's in there, they'll note it. They'll go, well, I ain't got another one. Right? Obviously, this is out there. I did learn. I had a friend of mine who had an energy person, head of like one of these energy kind of groups that's dealing with this issue, speak out in California, and this person told my friend that he had heard that Gore knew about the letter, the open letter, and was irritated that I had done that prior to the Oscar, because it would sort of muddy the water for him as he went to get his Oscar. Well, that's secondhand. Maybe it's not true. Maybe it's not accurate. But my response was, nothing would please me more than if Mr. Gore was irritated by that open letter. I just was pleased with
Connie. Well, I was right on target because I wrote him when I wrote my letter to him. Of course, you know, I submitted one to BBS Radio because I wanted to make sure that BBS Radio was informed of, you know, my letter to Al Gore, and I made it short and sweet, and I gave him the information that I felt that was important, and so he could make a sound decision on his end. And then, of course, you know, I stepped up one further and decided to, well, I believe in what he's doing on the global warming. Apologize for the planet, and I strongly believe that, you know, we all need to start taking some strong action in that direction as well. And so I thought, okay, well, I believe in this and I will support this. And so we'll see what happens. I haven't given up on it at all, and it would be exciting for me to really be able to sit down with them one-on-one and allow the listeners to tune in or call in and ask questions or whatever. But I just really, I know it has been a real privilege for me, and I know that I can speak freely for our listeners as well. It has been an honor to have you with us, and I do hope that you will come and share more of your knowledge and update us on the progress that you and your colleagues are making. And I do want to remind the listeners as well why I have Steve with us is that, you know, a lot of times we dig into our bank accounts or checkbooks and support, and we should be supporting our sisters and brothers, but, you know, we continuously are observing how our monies that we put out there to help individuals are being misused. And I do believe it's time for all of us to step up to help people such as Steve and really helping to make an impact on the planet for all of us.
Well, that's kind of you to say that. I've gotten support over the years, and I'm getting it now, and it's helpful, but it's up to a point. We're looking for a major breakthrough. We're looking for that $1 or $2 million funder who will then allow the kinds of programs, the projects that would really put the pressure on the government. That person may emerge from Hollywood, maybe from the sports milieu, or perhaps from the high tech, but we're only one or two funders like that probably from being able to end this embargo. Not too many years ago, Paul Allen, the very wealthy founder of Apple, the Apple guys, gave $9 million to SETI in return for building some radio telescopes to go look for radio signals in the sky. And that to me was the perfect metaphor of how the propaganda, you know, skewers and misleads everybody. I'm sure that Paul Allen meant very, very well in providing that money to SETI. But that $9 million was many, many times the total amount of money that's been put into this this disclosure process from the beginning. And he gave it to people who are probably one of the principal obstacles to the truth as they continue to make this issue of looking for signals in the sky what ET presence is all about, when ETs are interacting with people all over the world and turning up in our sky. So it was basically threw the money down the drain. It's very sad, but that's what happens when people are misinformed by their own government. They misspend their money. They back the wrong horse. They waste their time. And that's happening all over the country in many, many fields and many areas. We're wasting our money on silliness when the hard, important stuff, like building a levee properly or making a hospital appropriately able to service the patient, gets put behind.
I agree with that.
What can I say? But I know that somebody will step forward. It's only a matter of time. And when that money is available, you're going to see some real fireworks here in Washington, D.C.
Well, I'll keep my eyes and ears open for such investors and keep you guys in mind.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being a guest with you, Lilani. Thank you so much for all this time. And you'll be getting updates from me, and I'm sure I'll be back on soon, and we'll follow this issue.
Excellent. I would be very honored if you would. I truly thank you, Steve.
You're most
so
welcome.
We're going to say good night, good evening to you, and I'm going to spend a little time talking with the listeners this evening. So we'll be talking again soon.
All right. I hope I see some of your listeners in Hawaii too in May.
Yes,
that
would be nice.
Until then, you have a wonderful evening and week.
And you as well, and sleep well.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Wow. I don't know about you guys, but when I started to do my research, all of you are very familiar that I do indeed do a lot of research, and I got on that site. There is so much information. And one of the things that I want to remind all of you is that when you go and explore this site, take your time. And they've done a beautiful job of expressing their thoughts, their ideas, things that are that we're all facing, and it's written very well to where even a person like myself could sit there and read it and really understand what they're doing and the different things that are being hidden from us. And it's time. It's time for all of us to really take a deep look at these issues. And sometimes, we can make a huge impact just by sharing it with the person sitting next to us or, finding a creative way to speak about these things at work even. So, there's all kinds of ways that we can all step up and support a common cause. And I mean that respectfully. It's not like we're trying to go in and whip on the government or any of those other things. And, you know, it's like what we were saying earlier. I mean, they are looking for a way to bring this stuff, this information forward for all of us. But you have to keep in mind there are a lot of people still on this planet that choose not to know these things. And they are the very ones that I have the most concern for. Because as these things start to unfold and develop around us, these are the people that are really going to need our love and our support, because they're going to have a tough time being able to grasp what's happening here on this planet. And I know that each of you feel as passionately as I do is that, you know, I'm a grandmother, I have two granddaughters, and I want a great world for them of beauty and peace and love. And I know that you desire the same things for your own family as I do. And I think about those things all the time. So, you know, spend a moment, some time this week, and really think about how you can be active and bring in more awareness to yourself. Of course, you know, you can just go on different websites and empower yourselves with the information. It's like Steve said, it's important to also have concrete evidence and information to back up what you feel you know. You know, you couldn't go into court without concrete information, and it's just like anything else that we do. We all deal with it at some capacity, dealing with insurance companies or loan companies or whatever. They want concrete, substantial information to support whatever it is that you are seeking. And it's not any different for Steve and all those people. And one of the things that said on that, I've got some really great information on my show page, and I hope that you will spend some time taking a look at that and then visiting further on Steve's websites. Now, we do have Richard Miles that's coming on as well with the Fast Walkers next month. So that's going to be a really powerful show as well. So I know that all of you will join me and tune in for that show, and I'm excited about having him. But I did want to spend a few moments in sharing a little bit about my tour to Landers, California, with the UFO convention out there. Wow. Now, keep in mind, this was my very first one that I've experienced, and I can say it will not be my last. And when I say this to all of you, do yourselves a favor and go to at least one UFO conference. Now, I expected when I got there was there was going to be a lot of woo-woo stuff way out there, flighty, very unreal, kind of gave you that atmosphere of mystical stuff. You know, I really, really did think that. And I went in with an attitude, yeah, okay, I know, I did research on the speakers and so forth, but kind of half walked into it going, yeah, let's see what these guys got to say. It was absolutely amazing. It has absolutely changed the way I think, the way I'm looking at things. And I know if you give yourself the opportunity to experience one of them, just one, it's going to be profound for you as well. And when I say this, you know, I sat and shared quality time with a former CIA man that worked at a very high level with the CIA. And the knowledge this man had and the information he gave about the secrecies of the government. Now, this is a man, since he has been in his early 20s, has frequently, for 2 to 3 times a week, actually goes on to the spaceship. Now, what was so beyond all the information he had to give to me, what was really profound is that when this man stood up and spoke, or if he sat at a table, even his skin glowed. Everything about him glowed, literally. And then, as I observed, I saw this incredible energy field. I was not looking through my spiritual eyes. I was looking with my physical eyes at the energy frequency around this man's physical body and above his crown chakra. And you could see it literally vibrating around his body. And it was really interesting because he said to me, he said that he had gone up to the ship the day prior to coming to the UFO conference, and he shared with me how his experience on this one particular ship has got, think of it like a plasma TV, but they have it going completely around the ship in this one room, and they have the capability of seeing literally any place on the earth. They know everything there is to know about every man, woman, and child on this planet, including all the animals, the trees, the rocks. There's nothing on this planet that they do not know about. And it was so interesting because he shared with me that he had visited the ship. They had shown him what I looked like, that I was coming to the UFO conference. Gave him my name, and so he knew all this information from me because I knew I'd never met this man, and he walked right up to me and said, I know who you are. You're Leilani with BBS Radio. And I just looked at him and said, oh, my God, how did you know this? And I had the opportunity to share quality time with Wendell Stevens. He was a colonel of the Air Force. Ozzy Gonzalez, and he frequently visits the crafts as well. Dr. Frank did a phenomenal job on showing actual photographs as far back as the 40s and 50s of interaction with our terrestrial sisters and brothers. He was sharing with us the last convention he did is how the lieutenant of the ship actually materialized right there in the conference among all the people, and then when one woman tried to get him to the lieutenant to come up and speak, he said, no, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to hear Dr. Frank lecture on the terrestrials. So she was very persistent. Anyway, he actually disappeared in front of this large group of people that came to the conference. I made a shift when I was there. I was able to connect with things. And mind you, I've had my own experience with spaceships. I've seen a mothership. I've had them come into my bedroom. Of course, you know, I wasn't quite ready for that interaction with them, so they didn't stay very long, and no, I didn't sit there and communicate with them because my system didn't quite know how to handle that and so forth, but I really started to get it. I really started making the connection of our terrestrial sisters and brothers. I was actually able to spend quite time and speak with real authority figures, you know, colonels and CIA agents and people that we would walk among that have still currently are visiting back and forth on these ships and bringing back this powerful information for humanity. And it was just so profound to watch all this information unfold. How I sat in a dome that was given, the technology was given to a scientific researcher on how to reverse the aging process for humanity and to remove all this dis-ease from humanity, including all bacterias and viruses and whatever you want to bring forth on that list. And how the government continuously throughout the years had attempted to shut down this dome just to sit inside this dome, you could feel this incredible energy while you sat there. And throughout the entire conference, the woman that was throwing the conference would constantly remind everyone that was there at the conference that to constantly monitor your subconscious thoughts, because whatever you were thinking, this dome would literally amplify immediately all your thoughts. So I stayed in a very conscious process with my own mind and my emotions, and was very aware of what I chose to manifest within my own thought patterns. And I have to tell you, a lot of them actually unfolded while I was there, and I know more will continue unfolding for me. So I just wanted to really share with you, I came back a totally different person. I've been very happy and joyful since I have been there. I met 8 film producers. A group of film producers had flown in from India and came straight to the UFO conference, and I actually got to meet Paul, the film producer that produced the movie of Roswell. And in turn, as I spent quality time with Paul, he introduced me to a lot of the other film producers as well. I actually got to meet another producer that had come there as well and spent the entire weekend there with us. And he works directly and has for many, many years with Steven Spielberg. And one of the things that Craig shared with me is that he travels back and forth onto the spaceships as well. And a lot of that information he has brought back with the concept of the movies that they have produced, they had to produce these movies in such a way that they were getting the message out from our terrestrial sisters and brothers, but in a TV format so it wouldn't be rejected, so the masses could actually see these movies. So I implore that each of you go back and take a look at a lot of Steven Spielberg's movies that they've produced, because there are messages there from our sisters and brothers in space. And I found that really intriguing. And as long as well as Paul and his other TV producers as well, it was just a real honor to see them embrace me. They knew who I was. They're all going to come on to the show with me. So one of the shows, I'll actually be interviewing at least 4 to 5 film producers collectively together. They're going to allow me to help assist them in launching off a movie that they just got through producing in India on Master Jesus. So look out for that movie. I got to get sneak peeks of, you know, bits and pieces of what the movie is all about. And so I'm not disclosing that information, but I will say I'm very excited and thrilled to be able to play a small part in helping to launch that movie off. And I'm really looking forward to actually seeing the entire movie. So, and all of us are very familiar with the movie of Roswell, and so they did a great job on that. So you can just imagine what this other movie is going to be like. And that was very exciting for me. There were 3 other media groups out there, so they came in with crews and had cameras and monitors and all that cool stuff. And I went in to represent BBS Radio, and I will say BBS Radio got a lot of attention and recognition, and I felt really pleased with that. So the point of me sharing that part with all of you is that BBSRadio.com is really getting some very strong recognition, and we're getting out there, guys. We really are. So this is going to have a huge impact, not just for, you know, for my own experience, but for all the show hosts, of all the different things that they're getting involved with as well, you're going to see a lot of really cool things unfolding in behalf of VBS Radio. And, of course, we all get to experience those unfoldments. But on that note, it's time to end this show. So I've got something that I'd like to read to each of you this evening before I say goodnight to all of you. And this is from Saint Germain. He says, "Come, fly to me, precious children, on wings of the summer morn, or come like a strong swift arrow, O love's great lightning be born. I call, do you hear, beloved? Will you come to this great height? O precious ones of the presence, it is home, the I am, its light. Softly a call in the silence sounds in my dwelling above. My precious ones on Earth's planet have heard and answer my love. I return, my heart overflowing. In rapture I bring thou light to hold all close to their presence. I am its glory and might." So remember, you are the power and the authority of you, your worlds, and activities. Love yourselves, and most of all, love your families with all your heart. And until we reconnect with each other, be well and sleep well. Good night to all.